and KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today we're going to be talking about a phrase that I call boundaries of protection. And I want you to really listen hard because this could mean a whole lot of different things to different people, but I'm going to define to you exactly how I use this phrase and how you can adopt it to be more protective of yourself. And I want to really explain that because this isn't about being defensive. It isn't about setting boundaries with other people. It's about learning how to proactively deal with your own limitations without negativity or self-condemnation. And it sounds like a big mouthful and complicated, but I'm going to really break it down for you so that by the end of this show, you have an awareness of ways that you do things that harm yourself. And you need to learn how to set a boundary to protect yourself in really proactive and positive ways. So let's break it down a little bit. I want to explain to you what I mean by boundaries of protection. Many people have limitations that they deal with on a constant basis. These can be physical or emotional limitations. They can be things that you came into this life with or things that have happened to you that create a limitation for you. So my experience in private practice and with a lot of friends and family and even at times with myself, I'm not perfect at this either, has been that we need to or have to or should limit ourselves in some way. We often do not do it, or we do it grudgingly, or we do it part way for a bunch of reasons. And we're going to talk about those reasons of why we do that to ourselves. So when we feel that we have a limitation, now, you're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about somebody else. So I want you to really stop and take the me filter off for a minute and look at you. When we feel that we have a limitation, we often feel that we are disabled or weak or broken or unworthy. And the fear is that we become not valuable. So we tend to ignore our needs and boundaries out of embarrassment, our fear of appearing weak, or needy, or vulnerable. So let's look at the origins of this. I think it's, personally, and I really truly believe this, that it's instinctual. Human beings as a whole are pack animals. We're herd animals. We tend to live in packs. Think of your family and friends and your close inner circle. And we instinctively know that as a pack animal, we don't want to be the weakest one. We look for an alpha, or we become an alpha, meaning the top dog or the top person in the pack, and we like to follow a good alpha. Okay, an alpha doesn't have to be male or female. I'm just talking about those leadership qualities. So instinctively we know that if we are weak, we become the bottom of the pack. We become the one who gets picked on. Or, I mean, in the animal world, you become the one that gets eaten, right? Let's put this in like a wolf pack. The wolf at the bottom of the pack can get picked on and bullied and pushed away and ostracized. And that is not a great position to be in. Think of a herd of antelope. If you are the elderly, weak, limping, slower antelope, you're the one that's going to be eaten. So we instinctively as human beings don't want to be seen as infirmed or weak or slow or old or vulnerable. So put that into your thinking cap for a minute, because I truly believe that is some of the motivation for us to push away or deny or try not to deal with any limitations that we are given. So when we think of what our limitations are, we have to stop and say, what are the strengths and limitations that I was born with? Let's say you were born with a physical issue, and for example, spinal bifida or scoliosis or some physical thing that makes it so you can't jump or run as high as the next person. That would be kind of a limitation that you came in with, all right? And that you've spent a lifetime learning how to deal with that. So you might be better at it, you might not. Let's say that you've been big and strong and the alpha all your life, and something happens to you. You're in the military and you lose a limb. You're in a car accident. You fall and hurt your back. You develop a brain disease. Think of the things that can happen to people. And we're going to go over some of these more in a bit, and I'm going to have you look at the different categories in which you can have limitations. But let's say something happens to you, and now you have limitations imposed on you that you didn't have before. How do you accept that? How do you allow yourself to deal with these limitations in a proactive way without putting a whole lot of negativity and self-condemnation onto yourself that then makes you do stupid things? Let's be real here. What people tend to do when they deny their limitations is they do stupid things. They overextend or lift too much or don't listen to their bodies or try to do it anyway. And that's when you can get more injured or you can harm yourself or others because you're pushing yourself beyond your limitations. So it becomes a real double-edged sword. How are we taught in society all the time? We're taught not to limit ourselves and that limits are imposed by others and shouldn't be imposed by us. And we have a million quotes of limits, like fears, are often just an illusion. Michael Jordan said that. Limits are self-imposed. Never limit yourself. You'll never know your limits unless you push yourself beyond them. So we are taught that pushing our limits and pushing any boundaries that have been imposed on us is a good thing. And that means we're strong and we're capable and we're fearless and we can go forward. Now, what happens when pushing those limitations actually harms you? Think about that. We want to push our boundaries and our limits, but do we want to push them to a point where we actually hurt ourselves? How do you know when to push a limit or a boundary, and how do you know when to respect it? And what do you do if you have a limit or boundary? Do you just accept it and, you know, let it be, or do you work with it? These are all choices. And what I want to do with this idea of boundaries of protection is I want you to consciously, with real thoughtful awareness, be looking at what are your boundaries? Why are they there? Have they been there forever? Are they new? Have you accepted them? Do you fight them? Do you make stupid choices with them? Do you limit yourself inappropriately, too much, too little? What are your boundaries? And how do you learn to deal with them in a really healthy and proactive way, still allowing yourself to go forward and better yourself, but not do it in a way that is negative or harmful or full of shame and guilt and self-condemnation? So it's interesting, isn't it, to stop and say, wow, I usually just say, I'm weak, or I've got a bad back, or I can't do that because of my fill in the blank, my bad shoulder, my brain disease, my whatever. We tend to apologize and feel victimized and limited when we have disabilities or any kind of limitation. We start to feel vulnerable and weak. So the idea here is when we say push your limits, and your limits shouldn't hold you back, What I would really like to change that to is your fears should not hold you back. Sometimes our limitations are important to know, important to respect and accept, and learn how to deal with them in a really good and healthy and proactive way. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about, I'm going to give you some examples of these type of limitations. We'll be right back.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Autumn means cooler weather and a whole new to-do list for homeowners. Absolute Chimney and Deck Cleaning offers high-quality power cleanings with video inspection on all chimney, dryer vent, and deck cleanings. Absolute Chimney and Deck Cleaning provides professional high-end service at a mid-range price. And as we enter the holiday season, we would like to give a special thank you to our veterans and active duty military for your dedicated service. Call Absolute Chimney and Deck Cleaning at 921-4237. That's 921-4237.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. and we are talking about boundaries of protection. You're listening to the beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. You can listen to his music at randymcginnis.com, and it's just gorgeous stuff. Just as a brief announcement, on Saturday, March 7th, 2020, we're going to be doing a concert as a fundraiser for Shasta Arts Council here in Redding, California, and it will be about healing with music. Randy McGinnis and I both are going to be playing Native American flutes. Randy will be primary flute player, of course, because he's absolutely incredible. But we're going to be talking about how to really center yourself and go within and utilize music to center and heal. And also we're going to be doing some guided meditation. It's just going to be a wonderful evening of calm and quiet and healing. So join us. You can get tickets from eventbrite.com, or you can go to Shasta Arts Council's website and click on the flyer. And very soon it'll be up on randymcginnis.com and patriciabay.com. Okay, let's go back to talking about boundaries of protection. Let's understand what I mean by limitations. Let's look at the idea that there are primary problems with different body systems or cognitive systems. And those are problems that you come into this world with. So an example of a primary problem might be something like spinal bifida, which is a spinal condition that will create physical limitations and challenges. It might be that you have a congenital defect in a bone structure or something like that. You could have a heart defect that is something you have to accommodate and deal with. And the list is way, way too long to even begin to talk about it. But if you have a primary condition that creates a limitation for you, you most likely already know what it is. A secondary condition is something that happens later on, anytime. I mean, it could happen when you're 6 months old. It could happen when you're 60. A secondary condition is something like you've injured your back, or you've lost a limb, or you've broken your pelvis, or you have developed a brain disorder. Those are things that would be secondary conditions. Now, let's also look at the idea that aging is an influence on either a primary or a secondary limitation, secondary condition. If you have a heart condition that's a primary condition, you were born with it and you manage it and you have a cardiologist and you work with it, as you age, that heart condition may become bigger or more important or more influential in your life. So aging becomes an influence, and sometimes aging in and of itself can become a secondary type of condition or limitation. Think of, let's just think of something very simple. How easy is it for you to get up off the floor the older you get? You will see, remember the commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up? It's because the person either is elderly and doesn't have the muscle strength and the agility to get up off the floor, or they have a primary condition that doesn't allow them to utilize some part of their body to get them up off the floor. But there are people that are very fit and do well, take yoga, exercise, all sorts of stuff, but they still don't want to sit on the floor and get up off the floor because they feel like they look ridiculous or they barely can do it. So the older you get, the harder some things are to do. And that is just a fact of life, folks. I mean, we all have to deal with it. So think of aging as something that happens that affects our systems. And if you have a primary disability or limitation, it's going to affect it. If you have a secondary condition, it's going to affect it. So let's talk about what are the 10 most common conditions that are considered things to struggle with. All right. Arthritis and musculoskeletal type things. Heart disease, lung or respiratory problems, mental illness, diabetes, stroke, cancer, nervous system disorders, a big category for things like Alzheimer's and brain diseases and epilepsy and multiple sclerosis and things that affect the nerves and the functioning of those systems. Then accidents and injuries and pregnancy. These are conditions that can be considered disabilities or limitations. Then there's a whole lot more. If we look at vision and hearing and learning disabilities and traumatic brain injuries, autism spectrum disorder, sensory issues, when we look at those type of things, those can be considered limitations as well. So we get confused when we're told to push our limitations and don't let them hold you back, and you're only as limited as you think you are, and things like that. So those limits should be, don't let your fears hold you back. But when we have a limitation, how do we set a boundary of protection? Let's take a very specific example. Let's say that you were a very fit and healthy man. You, as a young man, you were strong like a bull. You could do anything. You could lift anything. And something happened, a car accident or an injury, and you hurt your back. Now you have limitations. You've probably been smart and you saw the best doctors. You maybe had surgery to correct whatever you could. You maybe have done physical therapy to strengthen whatever you need to. But now you have limitations surrounding a back that never gave you limitations before. So do you push these limitations and deny them? Well, every time you do, you probably pay a lot for that. And you're in weeks and months of pain, or you further injure your already injured back and create more disability or more limitations. So how do you find the fine line between pushing yourself to do more and limiting yourself to not hurt yourself? We're going to actually, by the last segment of the show, we're going to talk about exactly what are the steps to set your boundaries of limitations. But what I'm talking to you about right now is that people tend to think that denial is strength. So think about that for a second. You've injured your back. It causes you limitations. It ticks you off because you don't want to have those limitations. And it also changes your perception of self and your identity. You've always viewed yourself as a very capable and strong person, male or female, but in this case we're talking about a man who's hurt his back. So you've pictured yourself and your self-identity is one of a strong, productive, capable man who can do things and lift things and maybe was even stronger than the average bear. So now you have limitations. You're not supposed to lift that. You're not supposed to do that. You can't do repetitive things. Oh, my heavens. How do you change your self-perception and allow yourself the limitations that you need to do a boundary that protects your back? What are the boundaries of protection for your back? And what's interesting is the boundaries of protection for your back are probably already spelled out by your doctor. The doctor might say, look, don't lift more than 20 pounds. Don't do this. You can't do that. Try to do this. Don't do that. You need to go to physical therapy to strengthen the muscles all around this injury. You need to go to yoga to get flexibility. You might be told what you should and should not do to protect your back. Those aren't usually the problems. The problems are what happens in your head before you do or do not do your limitations. So let me give you an example that I actually know happened. You have a back injury. You're not supposed to lift anything. Say your doctor told you don't lift more than 20 pounds. And you're taking the trash can out. And you do pretty well with it because you're rolling it and leveraging it. And it's really heavy this time because you've put a lot of heavy stuff in it for some reason. And it falls off the curb. And it goes over on its side. What do you do? Do you pick up the trash can anyway, even though it weighs a lot? Or do you leave it there and let the trash man pick it up? Do you gasp, ask for help, go knock on a neighbor's door and say, I need some help, go back inside and find somebody? Or do you just go, I can do this, and pick up the trash can and tweak your back or hurt your back or make it more injured? Stop and think about it. What would you do? How many people would say, hey, this would not be a smart idea if I just pick up the trash can and muscle it? I don't want to leave it there for the garbage man. I don't want to leave it there for some animal to get into. I'm just going to do this. How often do we just do something, even though that little voice in the back of your head says, this is probably not smart? How often do we push the limits? Let's say you're not supposed to lift more than 20 pounds, but you've got a whole truckload of firewood that needs to be unloaded. And you stop and say, well, each piece only weighs 5 pounds. Well, can you do 5 pounds times 100 pieces of wood? You're going to bend and lift and throw, bend and lift and throw 5 pounds over and over and over again. And you're going, well, the doctor told me I can't lift more than 20 pounds. So then the next day when you are in screaming pain and you can barely move and everything's inflamed, and you're going, whoops, probably shouldn't have done that. So that's what I'm talking about, boundaries of protection. What are your limitations first? How do you know what they are? What are the boundaries of protection that you should be doing? And do you follow them? And the main point is, if you don't follow them, why not? Why not? What's in your way? So we're going to go to break in just a minute. And when we do, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about how we get in our own way and sometimes make really dumb choices. We'll be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and we are talking about boundaries of protection. And these are boundaries for ourselves, to protect ourselves from things we should not be pushing on and doing. So I want us to really take a minute to understand what I mean by limitations. Personal limitations are not something you should never push. Okay, now that's a contradiction from what I've been saying. We should push our personal limitations wisely. Let's say that you have injured your back and you know that the doctor's given you certain stretches to do, or you've gone to a physical therapist who has said these are things that are good for your back, these are things that will hurt your back. Let's say you're doing things to strengthen and expand the capabilities of your injured back. That's pushing your limitations with wisdom. Let's say you're saying, I'm going to pick up the blankety blank trash can. Oh, I'm going to leave my trash can out here. I can do this. And you just pick it up. That's pushing your limitations in a thoughtless manner. And the issue that I want everybody to stop and take a look at is, when you have limitations, what are the underlying reasons that you don't observe them, listen to them, push them, get angry about them, feel like a weenie, think you're disabled or hindered or handicapped? What are the reasons that you don't accept them? So I want to give you a whole different example. My granddaughter, who is absolutely amazing person and the apple of my eye, and who has been on a show prior with me talking about bullying, her name is Allie. And Allie is on the autistic spectrum. She is what a long time ago we would have called very high-functioning Asperger's. But now we just say that someone is on the autistic spectrum. Allie's main limitation in her life on the autistic spectrum is that she has sensory issues. Loud noises, bright lights, too much chaos around her. She has issues with the texture and taste of food. So she knows that her sensory issues are limitations that she must work with. Now, from the time she was very little and we figured out that she had some of these sensory issues, we all worked with her to have her work with her limitations. Push them when she can, but know that she has a limitation and how to accommodate it. And I'll give you a really good example. if we go into a restaurant where there's a lot of background noise and a lot of chaos and waiters singing happy birthday and clanking of dishes and things like that, it can totally put her over the edge. So one of the ways she accommodates the sensory limitation that she has is she has her noise-canceling headphones, and she brings them into restaurants with her. Now, they're probably not even plugged into anything. She just puts them on her ears. She doesn't like things in her ears because of sensory issues, so it has to be an external noise-canceling headphone. She doesn't apologize for it. She doesn't feel disabled. She just says, "Hey, this is something I deal with." She'll even say to somebody, "Yeah, I'm autistic, and I have sensory issues, and I have to take care of it, and this is what I do. I need my noise-canceling headphones sometimes." And people, for the most part, go, "Oh, okay." Occasionally, somebody will say, "Wow, tell me more about that," and she's very articulate and extremely bright, and she'll help educate somebody on sensory issues as part of an autistic spectrum person, or just persons with sensory issues that aren't on the spectrum. So she accepts that she has this issue. She accommodates the issue without self-degradation, without feeling shameful. And she does that in a pretty proactive way. I'm really proud of her. She's only 13 years old, and she does that beautifully. So let's go back to the person who has a secondary type of issue. Those are the ones we have a pretty hard time with. Think about Allie with her sensory issues. She has been working on these issues since she was 3, 4, 5 years old. Somebody with a secondary issue has always been strong and now has a shoulder injury or a back injury or blew out their knee or something like that, and they have to accommodate and limit themselves. Those are the ones that are often saying, "I'm going to ignore this. I'm not going to handle this. I don't want to. I feel shame and guilt and weakness." And there's also a certain amount of, "I don't totally believe the doctor. The doctor told me I couldn't lift more than 20 pounds, but he probably was exaggerating, or he was thinking of 80-year-olds, not me. I'm not that old. So I don't totally believe him, so I'm going to figure out my own limitations." Or not give myself any, because I'm in denial. Then you tend to have this kind of unwritten rule that you're not really following, and you're kind of blowing off sometimes. And then you end up re-injuring yourself or having time off work because you've blown out your pick a body part again. And then you say, "Wow, I shouldn't have done that." But do you learn from that? So the boundaries of protection are about figuring out what your limitations are and figuring out what your boundaries are for those limitations. And if you're going to learn to push those limitations or expand them and make them less of a limitation, then you have to do that in a proactive and healthy way. Doing it by pretending you don't have the limitation, okay, I'm just going to say this really clear. Pretending you don't have the limitation, pushing it without regard to the limitation is stupid. It's stupid. I'm going to say it one more time. It's stupid. You injure yourself, you create more disability, and everybody around you is probably going, "Why did you do that?" But that's beside the point. We're talking about doing this for yourself, okay? For yourself. What's your limitation? I want to give you an example. I've known several people that have had extensive hand injuries, and the doctors have told them you can or can't do this. One doctor told one person that I know with hand injuries, "You know, this is where your hand is. You just do what you're going to do and see what happens." So he took that to mean he has no limitations. Now he says, "Well, my hand is just really hurting all the time," because he had kind of a crush injury. And he said, "Wow, my hand is just hurting all the time." And I said, "Well, do you protect it at all? Do you do things that keep it from getting worse or having problems?" And he said, "No, the doctor told me I really didn't have any limitations." And I said, "Wow, okay, so when you do repetitive stuff, your hand really aches and hurts and has a hard time. Have you thought of maybe you should limit your repetitive motions with your hand?" "Oh, no, the doctor told me I don't have any limitations." And I thought, well, there's a bunch of denial there. And the possibility of harming his hand even more. So it's an example of how do we accept, especially when it's a secondary condition, it's happened later in life. How do we accept that we now have a limitation and we deal with it? So I want you to think about it from a different angle for a minute. We often set boundaries for people that we love. Like, it's easy for us to look at, say, our husband and say, hey, you shouldn't lift that. Don't lift that. Or, hey, is your back hurting? Do you need to sit down and put your feet up? Let me get you an ice pack. You know, yesterday you were chopping wood, and I think that probably wasn't the best thing for your knee. I was watching you bend and stoop and pick up and lift and swing the axe, and it doesn't surprise me that your knee is swollen and screaming today. We can see limitations and boundaries for those that we love, but it's because we're not taking it personally. It's not us. And also, sometimes someone will let another person set a boundary of protection for them, and they'll fight it. Oh, no, I can do this. I can do this. No, you shouldn't be lifting that. Put it down. And they'll let someone protect them because they can grumble about it and not feel like a weenie. They can say, she made me. Okay? That is just an element of denial. So we often can be protective and set boundaries for those that we love, our kids, our husband, our patients, our other people in our life, but we don't often set them for ourselves. Let's take a whole nother example of a limitation. I see people, I used to do a lot of work with people that were recently diagnosed with diabetes, and they often are in denial and angry and upset. And one of the biggest problems is they don't want to follow the limitations given to them by their doctor or diabetic counselor because they're mad and they don't want to and they don't like the limitations and they don't fully believe that this is a limitation for themselves. So they mess with their diabetes all the time. Stop and think how many diabetics you know that don't really limit what they eat. They don't check their blood sugar. They often don't take their medication. And they don't stop to think of the neuropathy, the nerve damage they're creating, the damage they're creating to their organs, the potential they're giving themselves for brain dysfunction because they're not supporting what their body needs. So the people around them, like their husband or wife, might say, hey, you need to check your blood sugar. You shouldn't be eating that. Or have you taken your medication? But that's because the person who loves them isn't in denial and wants to see them do well. The person who has the disability or the limitation doesn't want to admit it and is in denial. All right, so the main point of this section of the show is, why do you deny or push away your limitations and not want to accept them or deal with them? So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I want to teach you three very specific steps to begin to have boundaries of protection, okay, regarding any limitations that you have. I called it boundaries of limitations before, but that's not what I meant. Boundaries of protection. How do you protect yourself in a proactive and healthy way, let go of the guilt and the shame, and begin to live your life in a proactive sort of way that protects you? Interesting concept. How do you protect you? Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I'm going to teach you three good steps.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service dish network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about boundaries of protection. So what I want to talk to you about is there are basically three steps if you're going to begin to form boundaries of protection in your life. And let's clarify again, we're not talking about boundaries you set with others for fouling your personal space somehow when they disrespect you or they cross your boundary. We're not talking about setting boundaries with other people in relationships. That's a whole other boundary issue. I'm talking about when you have something that needs protection, you personally in your life, how do you set boundaries for yourself? Let's say you have anxiety or depression. Let's say you have sensory issues. You've got a bad back, a blown out knee. You have a heart defect you were born with. You have fibromyalgia and you have to deal with chronic fatigue and pain. What are your limitations? The very first step in learning to set boundaries of protection for yourself is to define what is the limitation that you need to protect. You can call it a disability. You can call it a challenge. You can put any beautiful word to it that you want. What is it that you deal with on your body, inside your body, in your mind, in your life, that you have to deal with so that you can accept it and talk about it and even be able to write it down and say, this is what my challenge is. So the first step is to define what it is you need to protect in yourself. It's also okay to take a look at it and say, am I being unrealistic? Am I protecting something that I'm just afraid of dealing with? Like, let's say you have anxiety about social situations and you decide that's your challenge that you have to protect and you're not ever going to push that and you're not going to deal with that fear. Okay, that's a limitation for you. But how can you protect that while at the same time trying to expand your horizon and move beyond it? I don't think it's as simple as just do it. You know, just go do it. Stop it. Stop being afraid. It's looking at the limitation and how long has it been there? Is it a primary limitation you've had all your life or is it secondary because of trauma or something that's happened? And how can you accept that limitation and protect it while at the same time working to make it less of a limitation? You catch the balance act here? We're trying to define what our limitation is while at the same time saying, how can I expand this so it's not a limitation? Let me give you a concrete example. If you have a bad back, you've injured it. Okay, you have a secondary injury to your back. Something happened, a car accident, a fall, something that injured your back. How can you accept the limitations that you need to do to protect your back, make it as high functioning as possible, but also expand the boundaries of the limitation? I know someone who has a back injury who does a really good job most of the time, except for when he doesn't acknowledge his limitations, and does a good job protecting it. He goes home at lunch and takes a longer lunch break and puts his feet up. He does heat or ice as needed. That is, and he has really figured out when does it need heat, ice, when does it need nothing. He doesn't take pain pills. He medicates with appropriate things like, you know, doing ibuprofen or whatever is the appropriate thing that he uses. And he also tries to limit himself from lifting too much or doing the things, the twisting and bending motions that are bad for his back. The way he expands his limitations to try to make them broader and broader at all times is he goes to yoga. Now, when he goes to yoga, he also tries to be really smart about it. He doesn't do poses that can actually make his back worse. He'll just do something like child's pose or something that doesn't hurt his back during those poses he shouldn't do. So he allows himself to accommodate his injury. Now, anybody that has a physical secondary injury is trying to find out what they can or cannot do. They should be trying to listen to what their doctor or physical therapist or, you know, whoever's helping them figure their limitations. And then try to work within those limitations to expand that so that they can do more and more. All right, so the first step in this is define your limitations or challenges. And then within that definition, you're going to define what your boundaries of protection are. And they will be concrete. If you can't write them down, they are not concrete. If your boundaries of protection are, I can't lift more than this, I can't bend and twist, I need to ice and get off my feet on a regular basis, repetitive motion is very difficult, I shouldn't do that. You should be able to say the do's and don'ts of the limitation you've defined. If you can't define the limitation, you're being too vague. If you can't set your boundaries of protection and be able to write them down, you're being too vague. So diabetes, I need to do this, not do that, take my medication, I need to check my blood sugar. Set what you're supposed to do and what you have talked to your doctor about and have been defined for you. Okay, so then the next big section. First, you have to define all of this. Then you have to stop and take a look at what these boundaries of protection are. You have to stop and see if you're angry, if you're in denial, like, well, I don't believe my doctor said I can't lift 20 pounds, but he doesn't know me. I should be able to do more than that. That type of thing, denial. Are you resistant? Is there a part of you that doesn't want to be seen as weak or hampered or labeled or something that you define as not good enough? You don't want to be seen as the bottom of the pack or the weak animal who's going to get eaten. What are the emotional things in your way of instituting your boundaries of protection? Are you blaming others? Are you saying you can't make me? Are you saying I don't want to, that's uncomfortable, I don't want to ice my back, I don't like that, it'll make me cold? And what are the things that you say that keep you from instituting your boundaries of protection? So the first step is define the limitation and challenges and define what your boundaries of protection are. If I am going to accept and protect this limitation that I have, how am I going to do that without shame and guilt, without judging myself and telling myself I'm not good enough or I'm at the bottom of the pack or I'm going to get eaten? You catch the metaphor there. And really take a good hard look at yourself. And this is where therapy might come in. If you are continually re-injuring your hand or re-injuring your back or not taking care of your diabetes or not saying that you can drive when you have a brain disease and you can't, or doing things where you are not accepting your limitations or not working within those or working to expand them, you might need to be in therapy to be talking about the shame and the guilt and the anger, the denial, the resistance, the feelings of worthlessness, the judgment that you put upon yourself. So that second step is really, really important for you to be able to establish boundaries of protection and then do step three. Step three is, how do you actually institute your boundaries of protection? How do you look at the trash can that fell off the curb and say, no? And I'm not going to feel shame and guilt. I'm going to recognize I am following my boundaries of protection. It would be stupid of me to use Dr. Patty's word here. Dr. Patty said that's stupid. Hear my voice in the back of your head. It would be stupid of me to bend over and muscle up that trash can back up on the curb or to an upright position. I am not willing to violate my boundary of protection and risk hurting myself. Okay, what am I going to do? What are my choices? Go get help? Leave it there? What are my choices? We often think our only choice is to disregard, totally ignore, deny our boundary of protection and do it anyway. I can't tell you how many times over 34 years of my private practice people have come in and said, well, a little voice in the back of my head said I shouldn't do that, but I did it anyway. And then the shrink sitting in front of you is going, how'd that work for you? And then the thing I hear is that they do it over and over and over again. I had a friend tell me that he hurt his shoulder and had surgery on it and was told not to lift or push or whatever. He had to protect that shoulder while it healed. Well, a couple weeks after the shoulder surgery, he didn't listen, and he re-injured his shoulder and had to have surgery again. And he said to me, well, I learned my lesson. I'll never do that again. And my first thought was, right. And if the trash can fell off the curb and went down and you weren't supposed to lift it up even now because your shoulder's a little bit compromised, what would you do? And he said, I'd lift up the trash can. So do we learn? Sort of. Do most of us deny what we've learned or push it away or pretend we don't need to worry about it? Sometimes. So look at these three steps. You have to define what your limitation is or your challenge or your disability. Put it in any words you want. Then you have to define what are your boundaries of protection for you. What would they be if it was somebody you dearly loved? It was your wife, your husband, your child, your best friend, your employee. You don't want your employee to get more hurt. Oh, my gosh, we've got disability and workers' comp. And, you know, what would you do if you wanted the person you cared about to protect themselves? You should be able to write these things down. If you can't, you're unclear. Part two, what is my resistance, my denial? Can I accept that these boundaries of protection are good for me? And can I allow myself to really define them and look at them and say, okay. Can I recognize if I'm angry or I don't want to do them or I'm ticked off that this happened to me or I blame somebody for harming me, a trauma, an accident, a bomb that goes off? I mean, you're military. You step on an IED or something that somebody else, the enemy planted in the ground. What do you do with your anger and your blame? And can you have that anger and blame and deal with it without compromising yourself that you need to accept your boundaries of protection? And then the last part of this is how do I institute my boundaries of protection? What are the steps that I can do if I want to expand my limitations and make them better? Take, for example, the man that I told you about has the back injury. He goes to yoga, and he said since he's been doing yoga slowly over time, he feels that his back has gotten stronger because he has been increasing the muscle strength around his injury, and he's been doing it beautifully to expand his limitations on a back injury. And this is also important for someone like him because there are times that he doesn't want to accept a boundary of protection. He doesn't want to leave the trash can laying there when he wants to pick it up because he feels like a weenie if he doesn't. So the idea is to define, to accept, and to institute, to put into practice. So I'm hoping that this show has given you a little bit of definition to stop and take a look at yourself and to deal with your limitations in a really proactive way. You don't need the shame and the guilt. None of us do. We need to protect ourselves because we are worthy and we're worth loving. And we get to take care of ourselves like we would take care of anyone else we truly love. So this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you have been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. And all I'm trying to do is heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.